Mini episode 914 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 914 of the FDH Lounge. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris, here today with part three of our history of Guiding Light, America's longest running soap opera. In our estimation, there were five eras of the program in the final quarter century of the show that is the part remembered by most fans, and those are parts two through six of our series following the preface, which is part one. Part seven is our list of the greatest characters of the modern era. For me personally, Guiding Light was a show that I grew to love, having been exposed to it by my mother. At least during its best times, it rose above the typical soap schlock that so often defines the genre, painting interesting and realistic stories about how characters related to one another. Thankfully, there's such a great amount of old episodes and of segments formatted into playlists on the internet, so this series is intended as our guide of what to expect as you navigate each era, as food for thought for those who are fans as well. The beginning and end of any era is always a bit inexact, but the dividing line from the Revolution era to what we'll call the Roger era began in 1990, when Riva was presumed dead for the first time, driving off of a bridge in Florida in a fit of postpartum depression. Several months later, Beth and Philip moved away, having finally married and had their daughter Lizzie after each of them had their first fake death. With Alan having gone to jail, much of the main event star power was off the board, and Roger, who had returned in 1989 after being presumed dead for 9 years, became the focus of the show, at first as at least something of a good guy, foiling Alan's bad intentions and marrying Alex, but as he gave in to greed and lust, stealing from Alex and from Spaulding Enterprises, committing adultery with the luscious young Mindy, and serving as an obstacle for Ed Bauer and Ross Marler when they thought about getting back together with Holly, he became one of the truly great characters in daytime history. Inevitably, with most of the town wanting him dead, he was shot and almost killed, and a lengthy mystery ended up producing Billy Lewis as the shooter, ironic since Roger, engaged in a custody issue with Billy's family and not knowing who shot him, had tried to frame Billy. That custody matter started over a year earlier as something that initially had almost nothing to do with Roger, but it tied in beautifully over a period of time. Young Bridget Reardon, living with her Aunt Maureen and Uncle Ed Bauer, was impregnated by Hart Jessup, Roger's estranged, long-lost son. Hart left town before Bridget could inform him of the matter. Meanwhile, Nadine Cooper, family matriarch of the scrappy, blue-collar family, schemed her way into Billy Lewis's good graces when he fell off the wagon, and she invented a pregnancy scheme to get him to marry her. Working secretly with Bridget, who wanted to find her son a good home, she pretended to be pregnant while Bridget pretended not to be, leaving town for the birth and depositing baby Peter in Nadine's hands. Inevitably, Billy found out about the duplicity, divorced Nadine, remarried Vanessa, and tried to keep the secret from Roger, but he could not, triggering Billy's attempt to silence him forever. Egged on by Roger, who sought an alliance with her so that he could obtain some custody of Peter himself, Bridget took Vanessa to court, with matters being complicated by her relationship with Billy's son Dylan, who was under siege from all sides. In the end, Vanessa and Bridget agreed to an unusual joint custody agreement. The storytelling over these several months, from the end of 1993 to the beginning of 1994, connecting most of the characters to the Roger investigation, the custody battle, or both, marks a high point creatively in the history of the show. During the Roger era, new characters came onto the canvas and played prominent roles at a time that featured a great degree of parody in terms of story focus among everyone not named Roger. Long-lost Cooper patriarch Buzz returned and quickly romanced British jewel thief Jenna Bradshaw. Buzz's daughter Lucy, not previously known to the Cooper family, soon followed. Roger's erstwhile foster daughter, Tangie Hill, came into the picture, romancing his enemy Josh before becoming a pawn between Alan and Alan Michael. New York journalist Nick McHenry was revealed to be the twin brother of Alexandra's late son, Lou Jack, as her amnesia about the circumstances of the birth was shaped into not remembering having two sons taken away from her. Inevitably, Nick romanced and married Alex's now bitter enemy, Mindy, leading to all sorts of fireworks. Nick's ex-girlfriend, Eve Guthrie, returned to his life with a vengeance and also served as Ed's first serious romance since the tragic demise of his wife, Maureen. That storyline was one of the most depressing in the entire history of daytime, as Maureen, considered the moral center of the show like Bauer matriarchs before her, found out that Ed had slept with her best friend, Lillian Raines. She confronted them individually in tearful, wrenching scenes before crashing her car and perishing in a tidal wave of emotion. There are many who will tell you that the storyline sucked the heart out of the show in a way that left it permanently changed, and that may well be true, but the storytelling at the very least was brave and unflinching. While that was unfolding, another of the show's super couples was being born. Ross and Holly were in an on-again, off-again romance during his 1992 campaign for the U.S. Senate when her troubled daughter Blake, reeling from rejection at the hands of her ex-husband Alan Michael Spaulding, seduced him and started what became an unlikely but enduring pairing. Holly's rage at what she perceived as her rejection by Ross led her to become a thorn in their side for quite some time and provided her first real thawing with Ross's enemy, her ex-husband Roger, since he raped her in 1979. Eventually, she reconciled with Ross and Blake, but after some hot and cold progression with Roger, reconciled with him and became a pariah to almost everyone else in town. This was also the time of the greatest prominence yet for black characters on the show, primarily with the Grant and Speaks families. With participation in major storylines open to more characters during this time period, the show did far better than would have been expected with so many of the show's most legendary characters spending time away. That would start to change in the summer of 1994, with Alan's return being teased for several months. Up next, it'll be the era of big stars and big goofiness, but for now, thank you for having tuned in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.